Once again, welcome here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The author of our lives, the author of this day, the author of our eternal salvation. You know, and when we come together, we express our joy and thankfulness, and as we rejuvenate in the spirit to as we meet together, and we know God is in our midst. This is His promise, and we know, and it has been witnessed many times, miracles and blessings and healings, and so we follow His word, and we're very thankful. There's been a subject matter upon my heart, my mind, and as the gospel, you know, we hear more and more about our brothers going to and throughout the world and preaching the gospel, preaching the fullness of the gospel, and declaring the restoration of the Church of Christ that has been declared many times through the Scriptures in many ways. And also for many reasons, most importantly, of course, is the gospel of salvation. But there are many things that are also included in it that it makes it so holy and divine and necessary in this day and age. You know, that's where when we hear about different things that happen that confuse the word of the Lord, you know, in different circles today, social circles and out in the Christian community and things, and that's why it just bears witness to me all the time that there was the necessity of a restoration of the pureness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and so there are many scriptures that I have. There are many, many more, you know, that we could use and could have used. And it is a very wonderfully manifested, beautiful gospel. And so we want to talk about even his church. We want to talk about his gospel, most importantly. And so there are many things that the Lord has designed for us to be led, taught, instructed, moved, directed even as a church, that He is at the head of His church. He is the head of His church, and He has to be there. And we need to make sure we keep Him there. It's not ours. We're caretakers, keepers of a flame. And, you know, we can be sometimes, a lot of the time, very careful about trying to maintain that flavor of the gospel, that zeal of the fullness of the gospel to be declared among the children of men, that they may be instructed and come to a fullness, just as He has said many times, that fullness of knowledge, and that's what we endeavor to do. And there's so much. And so I ask an interest in your prayers for the scriptures and the thoughts that I do have. And so And even then, I know that we can be woefully inadequate. But that's what our God says: when we are weak, then we are strong. But we are supposed to be humbled before Him. And so, a restored church and gospel. The Lord has restored His church, the church of Christ, in these last days to fulfill many prophecies and the knowledge of His covenants. And He does not forget His covenants. You know, even though that there are many, when people, you know, are involved, of course, and they may, as we were talking this morning in Sunday school, about those that may waver, those that may choose to go another way, and rather neglect their covenant that they made with Him through His beloved Son Jesus. You know, but He does not forget His covenants. And throughout the time that man has been on this earth, that He has made promises and covenants, and He will fulfill them. He is not slack concerning His promise, as the Scripture says, but He is would that all men should come to repentance. Matthew 24 and 14, we'd say, is a very simple Scripture. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. It is the Lord Jesus, the Master, speaking these words, talking about, you know, the last days. This gospel of the kingdom, whose gospel? He's the one speaking it. He's the one declaring it. He is the one that manifested his church. He's the one that set it up. And also the gospel of the Father that was given to him to declare. And because of that union between them and the authority given unto the Son for all things concerning creation, until it will reach its term, its end, when it will be laid at the foot of the Father, that all things will be accomplished. But this gospel of the kingdom should be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. There will be that witness. And so there, you know, we say a very simple verse, but there are questions that would need to be answered in order for this to be fulfilled. Let us take a look there. The simple prophecy has many questions needing answers to be fulfilled. Okay. There are over 50,000, they say, different denominations in the world today that teach different ways and doctrine. It's just a fact. It's just the way it is. And so, once again, you know, that question needs to be begged. You know, it says this gospel, as Jesus said. So, his full gospel of salvation, when we could go around this room and each one tell something different that they had heard that is out there. You see, his full gospel of salvation, and who shall teach it? Just anyone, or those that he will design to teach his fullness, and at his command. When Jesus talked to his disciples, John in the 15th chapter, he says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit. I have chosen you." And he went among the common man, if you will, calling them out of the world, calling them out of their different tasks. Some fishers, some tax collectors, some physicians, even thief. You know? But who shall teach it? So each, once again, that prophecy needs, there are questions, isn't there? And whose church? There, you know, we won't turn to that scripture, but as it talks about in the third book of Nephi, they asked him, what are we supposed to call the church? And he explained to them why. And continually, he says, this is my church. And it is by the name of Jesus Christ that we must have upon our heart and our mind and our life, you know, to order to be saved. We must have the name of Christ written upon our heart. He must be at the head of his church. So once again, here is the question. We have all sorts of names out there even. And there are those that also, that many that call themselves the Church of Christ. But it must be his church. And there are many things concerning it. Is the structure of the church important as we take a look at his gospel, his officers, and those that you say are caretakers, shepherds? And how is that done? How is that done? There are many things to talk about, even about the structure of the church, you know? And it should be, if it's a restored church, it should be they're restored the way it was originally, as it was in Jerusalem, nor as he set it up. And so, those that are divinely called, as he talks about in John 15 and many other scriptures, the scriptures talk about as they are witness that these servants were not to be paid. So there's a lot of things that do come into play, isn't there? That simple prophecy. The beauty in the Church of Christ is that we herald an unchanging God. I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful that we get to talk about that when we're out there, you know, and proclaiming the gospel of Christ, that the Church of Christ teaches an unchanging God. And so his pattern should remain the same. His gospel should remain the same. The way things were done throughout the scriptures, you know, the simplicity of the gospel of Christ, faith, repentance, baptism, the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost, resurrection, eternal judgment. You know, each of those things would beg many questions out there in the world, because, you know, even to resurrection instead of rapture. See, there's another one, isn't there? Eternal judgment. You know, many teach out there that there's another chance out there in the world. We know that's not true. You know, today is the day for men to prepare to meet God. Wherein cometh the night of darkness? He says that no labors can be performed. So we've got to be very careful. God has a design. He has a purpose and a plan for those that are able to understand and to hear and to make a choice. You know, there's a provision for those, for the innocent, for the little ones, you know, to be received lovingly into His care as the Church of Christ proclaims baby blessing. Why? Because the Master did it. He took them up into His arms, and He laid His hands on, and He blessed them. So things should remain the same. We herald an unchanging God. I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for this. In Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't change His mind. He didn't change His mind when He set up His church, when He was before His death and resurrection. He didn't change His mind between then and now on how things should be laid out in His church. The design of His church, the structure, and His gospel. Now, these are things that our young people need to know, that you know, you belong to a restored church, and Christ's own church. It's a thing. It is a proclamation that needs to be heralded. We should not shy away from it or be ashamed of it whatsoever, but it needs to be declared. That is why. That is the purpose and plan of the Lord God Almighty for His church to be restored. In the name of His beloved Son, in these the last days, so that gospel may be preached in all the world for a witness. He says, then the end will come. It needs to be out there. Malachi 3 and 6. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why would He put it that way? It's because He remembers His covenants, is why. I change not. That's why He will remember Israel. He will remember Jacob. He will remember His covenant with them, that they will hear that gospel, that they will have a chance to be saved if they will choose. They will come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. They will come to a knowledge of that gospel, that wondrous full gospel. There are many times when they walked away from Him as a nation Israel into idolatry, idol worship, and things like that, and abominations that were against the Lord. And if it weren't for that covenant that He made with their father Abraham, by all rights and purposes, that nations rise and have fallen throughout history, but Israel is back upon that land. But yet His purposes are yet to be fulfilled. That should not have come, but only according to His promise, His covenant unto His people. And Zion will come into being again, the Lord's government upon His people, and lands of inheritance to be inhabited again according to His design and purposes. Because they forsook Him. They forsook Him. As they talk about, you know, as our brothers are studying in the book of Isaiah, and it talks about the falling away of Israel and being scattered throughout nations, and even talking about that Zion was plowed as a field. How do you plow? You turn it under to replant. It is plowed as a field. And Israel hath mixed herself among all nations in the four corners of the earth. Remember when it talks about the four corners of the earth? Those are God's words. When He talks about the four corners of the earth, And what do you know? Today, scientists claim that there are, they claim four corners of the earth. Isn't that amazing? Moroni 8 and 19. For I know that God is not a partial God, neither a changeable being, but he is unchangeable from all eternity to all eternity. And that is so neat. And we get to declare that. We need to declare that fullness according to his design, his pattern. And this is talking about infant baptism that we don't practice, that others might in other circles, other Christian denominations that I'm not going to go into names and so on, but you know about them. But he cares and he loves for the little children and he has a plan for them. He's a merciful God. And so we don't need to basket weave in the scriptures to arrive at doctrine or belief. We don't need to do that. You ever see somebody make a basket? You ever seen that done? I know Sue's made many until her hands gave out on her and things like that, and many of you other ladies probably have too. Maybe some of you men. And watching how they do, and they have to take this to do this upon this to do this in order to get to the finished product. And we don't need to basket weave the scriptures to arrive at a doctrine or a belief because of our unchanging God. What is needed is to simply open the scriptures and read. And they all need to add up to what the truth is. All of them need to, they will just manifest one another. And to prove that he is true, his gospel is true. And that is to be practiced just as he said. 1 Nephi 3 and 2:14. For the time cometh, saith the Lamb of God, that I will work a great and a marvelous work among the children of men. A great and a marvelous work. Talking about the restoration of his church, his gospel. But I want to look at a lot of our scripture are going to talk about that, the coming forth of that church, the coming forth of that gospel, and those prophetic scriptures. And it will also give us other wondrous points that are also included in them as well. Because as we find that through God's promise, you know, unto his people, his covenant people, that the earth will be blessed and will be seated with the latter rain, the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That all have that opportunity. You know, it was up through Israel when they had rejected that the gospel went unto the Gentiles. And we find that's going to reach its circuit. The first would be last. Israel departed from the ways of the Lord. The Gentiles would take a forefront. But we're going to read the scriptures having to do with it. But then the last will be first once again. When the Lord says, with everlasting kindness will I gather thee. Talking about his people in Israel. But we are blessed along with them. We are blessed along with them. There would be a necessity of the Lord delivering a holy and divine gospel from heaven to accomplish the prophecy of Jesus Christ. Okay? That the gospel would be preached in all the world. And then the end come. This gospel of the kingdom. And so, especially in this day and time, that is so necessary. Especially in this day and time. Because of all the flurry of beliefs, all the flurry of doctrines and so on, it needs to be his. It needs to have his fingerprint upon it. Very individual and very unique. It needs to be his. And he would declare it, and he would establish it, and he would restore it. Revelation 14 and 6, we know we've read this many times, but I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And that portion of Revelation is talking about the last days in that area. If the gospel was all in its entirety and all that of his design and structure and everything was already here, then why would an angel have to fly with the everlasting gospel in the last days to preach unto them that dwell upon the earth? You see? Makes good sense, doesn't it? It needed to be restored. Every tongue and people, there is a marvelous work and a wonder. And there's a marvelous work yet ahead of us. There's much to be done. He needs every available man, woman, and child. And the precious knowledge of the restoration is so valuable. That's why he did what he did, in order that it may be declared to fulfill that wondrous prophecy. 2 Nephi 12 and 42, "But behold, there shall be many at that day when I shall proceed to do a marvelous work among them, that I may remember my covenants, which I have made unto the children of men, that I may set my hand again the second time to recover my people, which are of the house of Israel." In the Book of Mormon, when there was that voice that they heard before Jesus appeared to them, and there was three different times, he says, "How oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens?" That's three different times. "How oft would I have gathered you?" He's going to set his hand the second time to recover my people. And we're going to read a little bit more about that. 2 Nephi 12 and 44. "And my words shall hiss forth unto the ends of the earth for a standard unto my people which are of the house of Israel." It'll be a standard to us. We live by them, don't we? We hoist that standard. We live by that standard. We declare and proclaim that standard, don't we? You know, hiss forth to the ends of the earth. As he talks about in Isaiah, "My word will shall not return unto me a void, but it will accomplish the thing that I have sent it forth to." It will not return unto him void. It will accomplish the hearts and the minds of the children of men, whoever choose to live by it and through it, proclaiming that fullness of the gospel. But that standard needs to be that standard, that his people may be instructed and that they will be able to be restored in the name of Jesus Christ. But they must know of him, and they must know of his gospel, and they must know of all of it. That's his design. And what we need to understand is that these scriptures, we savor them, we embrace them, we live by them, but they're his, and the church is his. The church is his. We're caretakers, shepherds of it. But it's his church, his gospel, his design. And these are his words, not ours. 1 Nephi 3, 2:14 through 2:16. "For the time cometh, saith the Lamb of God, that I will work a great and marvelous work among the children of men, a work which will be everlasting, either on one hand or on the other. Either the convincing them unto peace and life eternal, or unto the deliverance of them to the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, unto their being brought down into captivity, and also unto destruction, both temporally and spiritually, according to the captivity of the devil, which I have spoke." And that promise is to all mankind, isn't it? That he would that all men would be saved. The convincing them of peace and life eternal. Because without Jesus Christ, without that message of salvation in our heart and mind and life, and accepting that sacrifice that he made for us and for our opportunity of life eternal. What's the opposite of peace? War. Man has been at war with God. Man is still at war with God when he does not embrace the gospel of Christ and live for it, live for him, accept his sacrifice, keep his commandments, endure to the end. Man has been at war and continues to be at war with God until we can have peace through Jesus Christ and life eternal. Or many people deliver into the hardness of their hearts We find many today that I weep for. They seem to gain the whole world. All kinds of money and fame and so on and so forth. And they leave it having made no plan. First Nephi 3, 190 through 197, Nephi's vision. And it came to pass, I beheld the remnant of the seed of my brethren. And that's talking about the seed of the Nephite, Lamanite people, if you will. And also the book of the Lamb of God, which had proceeded from the mouth of the Jew. And I beheld that it came forth from the Gentiles unto the remnant of the seed of my brethren. He's talking about the Bible. And after it had come forth unto them, I beheld other books which came forth by the power of the Lamb from the Gentiles unto them. Unto the convincing of the Gentiles, and the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also to the Jews, which were scattered upon all the face of the earth, that the records of the prophets of the 12 apostles of the Lamb are true. Now, what's really neat here is that we find that, you know, there are the words that proceed forth from the mouth of the Jew, we say is the Bible, you know, and he said other books, plural. We know we have the Book of Mormon, which is the added witness of Jesus Christ. It says, and the two of them would be the laying down of contention, false doctrine. He talks about other books as witnesses. The Book of Mormon says that we might see them if we're righteous and if we're faithful. The convincing of the Gentiles and the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also the Jews which are scattered upon the face of the earth. This is where we're at. Talks about the prophecies in the book of Jacob of the master and the vineyard. And he went and he gathered other servants that they would labor, for this is the last time that I will nourish my vineyard, it is said. The end draweth nigh. It says the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and it says in the scriptures, that the records of the prophets and the 12 apostles of the Lamb are true. The Church of Christ also still believes in prophecy that many say are done away as far as being able to. The beholding of angels, people think, boy, they're just seeing things in that church. What's wrong with them? Revelation, the speaking of tongues. We believe in those things to be done decently and in order. Yes. And also within his church, if there is prophecy and revelation, that they are gauged by the Spirit.
And also within his church, if there is prophecy and revelation,
they are gauged by the Spirit. Try the spirits where they be of God. We believe in those things that are in his church that are also, once again, gauged and witnessed by the Spirit. There are many times that I felt the Spirit of the Lord and I knew that prophecy or revelation was true. I knew that calling to the ministry was true. There are other times that I knew that it was not, because it wasn't true. But that is how his church should work. And the angel spake unto me, saying, these last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles shall establish the truth of the first, which are of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them. So we find a restoring, once again. And shall make known unto all kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto him, or they cannot be saved. That is the foundational truth, that they must come unto him to be saved. But they must hear all of his gospel. And that's where we're at today. This is where we're at today, my friends, my brothers and sisters, proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world to fulfill his prophecy. But they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. And the words of the Lamb shall be made known in the records of thy seed, as well as the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, on the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Wherefore they both shall be established in one. They will tell the same thing. The same God over all the earth, his Son Jesus Christ, that died to pave the way to our eternal salvation, if we will live according to it. Wherefore they shall be established in one, for there's one God and one shepherd over all the earth. Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, being manifested by the Holy Spirit. And He is directing His church today. This little church of Christ, as it talks about that there few there be that find it. This little church of Christ and all the places that they are in. And it's God's work. It's God's Spirit. God's Word. That is convincing the hearts and minds of the children of men throughout the world.
Convincing the hearts and minds of the children of men throughout the world.
You know, we weren't able to go back for at least 4 or 5 years in order to Nigeria. It just, you know, comes to mind is that we saw the joy in the eyes of the leaders that were teaching. They said the congregations, the missions, they're waiting for us to come to hear. The church is growing there. There are many that want to be. There are other church or other leaders that we didn't know from before. We didn't know them from before, but they've been told of the Church of Christ, and they said, "We and our people, we want to join the Church of Christ." There was at least two other leaders there. They knew the genuine article when they heard it. And this is how it's been working throughout the world, as does in Africa and in the Philippines. Goes like wildfire. There are callings to the ministry in each of these places, and it takes off. Their own people take it to their own nationality, kindred tongue. It's God's work. And when you see the conditions of these places, as my brothers and I have seen, that you truly see the Scripture that talks about that we would be nursing fathers and mothers and we would have them upon our shoulders. You truly see that come to light, manifested in its truth. Third Nephi 9, 86 and 87, then verse 92. Verily I say unto you, I give unto you a sign that you may know the time when these things shall be about to take place, that I shall gather in from their long dispersion my people, O house of Israel, and shall establish again among them my Zion, or his government, his blessing, his gospel. And behold, this is the thing which I shall give unto you for a sign, for verily I say unto you that when these things, which I declare unto you and which I shall declare unto you hereafter of myself, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, which shall be given unto you of the Father, shall be made known unto the Gentiles. We're Gentiles. And we know about them. And we're looking at them. Many of you have a copy of it. Those things which they were declared. Now, and if we are faithful, they say that there are more records, more books that may be shown to us. But they will tell. They will manifest and will back up and manifest the truth of Bible and the Book of Mormon as well to be of God. Will be made known unto the Gentiles. Verse 92, for thus it behooveth the Father that should come forth from the Gentiles, that he may show forth his power unto the Gentiles. For this cause the Gentiles, if they will not harden their hearts, that they may repent and come unto me and be baptized in my name and know of the true points of my doctrine. Whose doctrine? His doctrine. That they may be numbered among my people of house of Israel. We will be blessed along with them. Be numbered among them. But the main thing is that we will be blessed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may repent and be baptized in my name. True points of my doctrine. His doctrine. You must always remember that. It's His. And how He established it. Eternal truth. His eternal truth. How important it is. We want to live according to it. 3 Nephi 10, 1 through 4, talks about, but if they will repent, talking about Gentiles again, and hearken unto my words, and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them. And they shall come into the covenant, and be numbered among this, the remnant of Jacob, or talking about the Nephite people once again, Nephite Lamanite people, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, that they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob. Also many of the house of Israel shall come that they may build a city which should be called the New Jerusalem. Once again, they will be doing the building, but we're supposed to be doing the assisting. And most importantly, we're supposed to be doing the declaring and the witnessing, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we believe that those in the Yucatan are a remnant, a Latter-day remnant of those that of the seed of Jacob, or the seed of Lehi, you might say. And we see the gospel. There are dreams and visions among the people down there, that they're going throughout the land, and the Lord is working in front of them. There are testimonies from our brothers throughout the world where there are angels that are working in front of them, declaring and saying, maybe my servants are coming with the truth. Hear them. Angels will appear if you believe and have faith that they can. Many don't. They believe that was all done away at the time when Christ originally walked the earth. This place called a New Jerusalem. There are many times where it was referred to, this land was referred to when the first settlers come from Europe, and where this land was called, they referred to it as a New Jerusalem. I believe one of our brothers had a study upon that. There were references about it. They had referred to it as a New Jerusalem on this land. But this will be a holy New Jerusalem of God's making and God's design. His gospel, His people. And they shall assist my people that they may be gathered in, which are scattered upon all the face of the land, in unto the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also be in their midst. And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, even when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. There is a grand work yet to come. There are many that are laboring with their mights, even now, to declare this gospel to whomever the Lord sends them to. But there is a grand and a wondrous work yet to come when time will be drawing to a close. The world will change as we know it. The faithful will understand the revelations that may be obscure at this time, but the faithful will know and understand when they are manifest and are being fulfilled. The faithful will know. The spiritual will know. We're looking for them. We're studying them. We're looking for them to be fulfilled. Ether 1, 109 and 110. Come unto me, O ye Gentiles, and I will show unto you the greater things, the knowledge which is hid up because of unbelief. This invitation. Come unto ye, O ye house of Israel, and it shall be made manifest unto you how great things the Father hath laid up for you from the foundation of the world, and it hath not come unto you because of unbelief. I believe that today and day that we're living in, God is proving and sifting His people. Those are the faithful. He's proving and sifting His people. We see the challenges that are laid out. Even in His church, there are challenges laid out that is challenging people to become stronger, to become more knowledgeable, to be more faithful. But there are many in this country and around the world that are rejecting, which fulfills also another prophecy of Jesus Christ: as wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life eternal. And He said, few there be that find it. But the promise is there unto all. Ether 1:13, 1:14, and then shall my revelations, which I have caused to be written by my servant John, be unfolded in the eyes of all the people. Talk about the book of Revelations. We look to study to know how and what's going to happen, this and that, but they're going to be unfolded. And remember, when you see these things, you shall know that the time is at hand, that they shall be manifest in every very deed. Therefore, when you shall receive this record, you may know that the work of the Father has commenced upon all the face of the land. The work of the Father has already commenced. How many years has it been since the restoration of the church? And we read the Book of Mormon along with the Bible. Over 170 years, isn't it? It was 1830. We're in 2017. Over 170 years. How many things, you know, and since that time, when they were riding around on horses and buggies and things like that, what about today? We don't ride in horses and buggies, maybe some of the Amish. Of cell phones. You can have a computer right here on your watch. You know, we wonder in the scriptures if it's actually a jet airplane that the prophet saw, or vehicles, or some of the aircraft that we have. Some have speculated on some of those things. It's very possible, you know. But where are we at today? Knowledge has been accelerated beyond belief. And we think that we have the latest technology when we have a cell phone or a computerized watch or something like that. And yet there's so much more. You know, our brother's into electronics for his job, and he's probably seen things that continually blow you away with what's news coming. Where are we at today? We need to watch that we're on the Lord's time clock, and we're watching time with Him. With His care and blessing. But therefore, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and believe in my gospel, and be baptized in my name. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned, and signs shall follow them that believe in my name. We could turn this into a testimony service today about the miracles each has seen in this room, and how He has cared for you, and taken care of you and your family. Signs shall follow them that believe in my name. I like to hear of these testimonies of God's working among His people throughout the earth, and where these miracles and signs and wonders are taking place. I like to hear those things. It's a wonderful thing, and we should expect that they are there. And blessed is he that is found faithful unto my name at the last day. For he shall be lifted up to dwell in the kingdom prepared for him from the foundation of the world. And behold, it is I that have spoken it. Amen. The Lord God has spoken it. 1 Nephi 4. I know we're there. I've got maybe a few scriptures, but there was so much more. There's so much more. Wherefore, they shall come to the knowledge of the Redeemer and the very points of His doctrine, that they may know how to come unto Him, this is Israel, and be saved. And then at that day will they not rejoice and give praise unto their everlasting God, their rock, and their salvation? Yea, at that day will they not receive the strength and nourishment from the true vine? Will they not come unto the true fold of God? Behold, I say unto you, yea, they shall be remembered again among the house of Israel when they come to a knowledge of who they are. What is their heritage? What God has laid up for them. His precious gospel of salvation. They know that they are covenant people of the Lord. There's scripture that says they will come out of obscurity. In other words, they don't know who they are. They come out of a blindness of knowledge to be instructed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. To know of the true points of his doctrine, it says, to know where the true strength is from that true vine. 2 Nephi 11, 25-32. And after they have been scattered, the Lord hath scourged them by other nations for the space of many generations, yea, even down from generation to generation, until they shall be persuaded to believe in Christ, the Son of God, and the atonement which is infinite for all mankind. And when that day shall come that they shall believe in Christ and worship the Father in His name with pure hearts and clean hands, and look not any more for another Messiah, then at that time the day will come that it must needs be expedient they should believe these things. They will hear about the Bible, they will hear about the Book of Mormon, and they will know of the Son of God. They're looking for their Messiah to come for the first time. When they will come to know that He has already come and that He has died for their sins. They will know. They will know how to come unto Him in repentance. They will need to know about baptism, about receiving of His Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands, about resurrection and eternal judgment. They will know those things, that they will believe these things. And the Lord will set His hand again the second time to restore His people from their lost and fallen state. Wherefore He will proceed to do a marvelous work and a wonder among the children of men. Wherefore He will bring forth His words unto them, which words shall judge them at the last day, for they shall be given them for the purpose of convincing them of the true Messiah, who was rejected by them, unto the convincing of them that they need not look forward any more for a Messiah to come. At the very tomb when Jesus, when the rock was rolled away and He was resurrected, the soldiers are to have watched that tomb. The lie was started then. They paid them large money to say that the disciples had come and taken Him away. The lie was started then among that nation. The lie was started then. And so we have a few points I'd like for us to remember. And there are many more for us to savor. But that the Father will remember His covenants to His children. He will remember them, every one. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. He has restored the Son's church. The Gentiles will be blessed if they believe His gospel. Have we been blessed? There's not a person in this room that cannot say they haven't been blessed. We've been blessed. And we've been blessed through the gospel. We've been blessed by the Father, the Son, and moved of the Holy Spirit to believe. If you didn't believe, you wouldn't be sitting in your pew to hear that wondrous message. The gospel, the Gentiles will be blessed if they believe His gospel. They believe His gospel so much that we have those that will travel to dangerous parts of the world to proclaim that gospel and be cared for and nourished and taken care of and brought home. The Gentiles will be used to help restore Israel. As I just said, they're proclaiming that gospel. His servants. His called servants, according to His will, His purpose, His Spirit, those who have prepared themselves and in order to sacrifice in many ways to declare that gospel and not being paid for it. Who could ever put a price on eternal salvation? Never. Israel will be taught the gospel of Christ. There will be a time when it's going to go forth in its power and His authority beyond our comprehension. But He will be at the head of it, and He will be doing the leading and the manifestation. Israel will be gathered home to the lands of the inheritance given to Abraham. And so I thank you for your love and for your prayers, and thankful for God's word, and I will keep you all in my prayers.